Please be seated and turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 35. Second Chronicles 35, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord. And he said unto the Levites that taught all Israel, which were holy unto the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, did build. It shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. Serve now the Lord your God and his people Israel. And prepare yourselves by the houses of your fathers after your courses, according to the writing of David, king of Israel, and according to the writing of Solomon, his son. And stand in the holy place according to the divisions of the families of the fathers of your brethren of the people, and after the division of the families of the Levites. So kill the Passover, and sanctify yourselves, and prepare your brethren that they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And Josiah gave to the people of the flock lambs and kids, all for the Passover offerings, for all that were present, to the number of 30,000 and 3,000 bullocks. These were of the king's substance. And his princes gave willingly unto the people and to the priests and to the Levites. Hilkiah and Zechariah and Jehiel, rulers of the house of God, gave unto the priests for the Passover offerings 2,600 small cattle and 300 oxen. Conaniah also, and Shemaiah and Nethaniel, his brethren, and Hashabiah and Jehiel and Jozabad, chief of the Levites, gave unto the Levites for Passover offerings 5,000 small cattle and 500 oxen. So the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their place, and the Levites in their courses, according to the king's commandment. And they killed the Passover, and the priests sprinkled the blood from their hands, and the Levites flayed them. And they removed the burnt offerings that they might give according to the divisions of the families of the people to offer unto the Lord, as it is written in the book of Moses. And so did they with the oxen. And they roasted the Passover with fire according to the ordinance, but the other holy offerings sawed they in pots and in cauldrons and in pans, and divided them speedily among all the people. And afterward they made ready for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, the sons of Aaron, were busied in offering of burnt offerings and the fat until night. Therefore the Levites prepared for themselves and for the priests, the sons of Aaron. And the singers of the sons of Asaph were in their place, according to the commandment of David, and Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun the king's seers, and the porters waited at every gate. They might not depart from their service, for their brethren, the Levites, prepared for them. So all the service of the Lord was prepared the same day to keep the Passover and to offer burnt offerings upon the altar of the Lord according to the commandment of King Josiah. And the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time and the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet, neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. And the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. But he sent ambassadors to him, saying, "What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war, for God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not." Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and hearkened not to the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, "Have me away, for I am sore wounded." His servants therefore took him out of that chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had, and they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. And Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. And all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah in their lamentations to this day, and made them an ordinance in Israel, and behold, they are written in the lamentations. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and his goodness, according to that which was written in the law of the Lord, and his deeds first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. This, we might say, was the goal of the prior chapter, right? It does you no good to have, if you take down all of the idols, if you set up the house of the Lord, if you put it in order, and then you never use it. This was certainly not Josiah's way. Not only did he do all the preparation work to come to the house of the Lord and to worship there, but then when that preparation was done and when the house was cleansed and when it was put back in its proper order, only then did Josiah call the people together in the 15th day of the first month or the 14th day of the first month to offer the Passover. The time had come. They were preparing for that day. That's why they did all of that work, beloved. And it behooves us as well to prepare ourselves when we come to worship the Lord. We hear, don't we, from our fathers of the past writing, say, we'll just choose one in the larger catechism. We say that when we come to the Word, to hearing the Word preached, we come to it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. When we come to the table, the Lord's Supper, we come to it with preservation, observation, and reflection. In other words, we're told to prepare to worship the Lord. There is a tacit admission, isn't there? As we make use of this, there's a tacit admission that we need preparation when we come to worship the Lord. We have spent 6 days in the world concerned about earthly things. We need some time to put that stuff away, to examine ourselves, as we've said, and to come with diligence, preparation, and prayer to hear the good word of God preached and to partake with the rest of the church in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And any other things that are going on by way of occasion, baptism, oaths, vows, whatever those other acts of worship are, aside from the regular things. As we have said before, so we say again, anything that you will do in this life will be bettered by preparation. You cannot expect, we have a young man, we've prayed for him. He's going to go and take a test on Wednesday. Has he been preparing to take that test? Obviously he has. Yes. He's not going to get off the couch, as we used to say, and go take that test. He studied. In fact, I would say that Tuesday will be a late night for him as he prepares for the exam on Wednesday. Beloved, are we spending that time Saturday night readying ourselves to commune with the Lord on his day? They prepared, and by their preparation, they took out false worship. They repaired the house of God, and then they took up his service, the Passover. So there's negative, there's positive, and then there's execution. Okay, that by way of making use. There are three names mentioned in this chapter about who they used in order to know how they should prepare. We have the word David, or the name David, the name Solomon, and the name Moses, all in their own right prophets of the Lord who wrote about worship and how it is to be conducted. David, Solomon, and Moses, in that order. And they're all mentioned here, and everything is put in order according to the Word of God. We believe that worship is something that is to be ordered according to God's word. And so that's what Josiah did in his day, as Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah did before him, those other godly kings. Okay, so notice then we had 30,000 of animals that were set for the Passover, and then there were other animals that were given, upwards of, say, another 7,000. So somewhere around 37,000 households came together to have the Passover at that time. Remember, it was one lamb or one kid of the goats for a Passover meal. And so several of those households, some 30-something thousand, if the households were too small to make use of the whole animal, two or three households could come together to take care of that, right? We remember that from the institution in Exodus chapter 12. They killed the Passover, they sprinkled the blood, but they also offered burnt offerings and peace offerings at that time. And we know they were peace offerings. Why? Because the people got a part of them back, right? That was a shared offering. A part of it, that very choice part, the caul above the liver, the kidneys, so on, that very deepest and richest part was indeed offered up to the Lord, and other pieces were for the priests and the rest for the people in those peace offerings. And so they were able to offer those offerings and at the same time celebrate that meal before the Lord. And then we have also the singers, the sons of Asaph, in their place, according to the commandment of David and Asaph, Heman and Jeduthun, the king's seers, and the porters waited in every gate. So all of the service is conducted according to the Lord, according to his commandment. And so there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. So Josiah and his Passover outstripped Hezekiah's and outstripped Jehoshaphat's. All right, so now we come to what we heard about in the last chapter, Josiah's untimely end. And so Pharaoh Necho is stirred up by none other than God himself. He has a mission to send him on. Remember that it was God that sent Nebuchadnezzar to flow over the ancient world. And as a matter of fact, he will say, well, you know, when Nebuchadnezzar worked for me in Tyre and did what I wanted him to do in Tyre, I never paid him for that, God says. I know he's speaking, you know, that's very condescending speech, but that's how he speaks. And so I'll give him Egypt for his labor in Tyre. That's what God said. It was God that stirred up Necho as well. And so the Pharaoh comes out and he has a battle in Carchemish in Euphrates. Keep in mind that Euphrates goes north and west. So it's not perhaps so far east as it is north that he's going in. So he has to pass through Judah in order to get there, right? Because he's coming up from Gaza, up that way. And so what do we hear then? That Josiah goes out to meet him in battle. Necho sends ambassadors to him and says, don't mess with me. Don't do that. God has sent me on this mission. Don't meddle to your own hurt. And he does anyway, and he dies an untimely death. Well, it was due to his foolishness, but it was also in the providence of God so that he would not see the destruction that will come just one generation later upon his son, right? His son and erstwhile cousin, if you will, Zedekiah, when Nebuchadnezzar will come into town and will indeed in three different waves bring Jerusalem to rubble, such that when Nehemiah goes there 70 years later, it still lays in ruin. Thus ends the reading then of chapter 35. The only other thing I would tell you is that the Lord speaking by his prophet Jeremiah, it says Jeremiah lamented for him, the Lord speaking by his prophet Jeremiah will indeed say that sometimes the righteous are taken away in an untimely way, and they're taken away in that untimely way so that they will be spared from the wrath that comes. And so that's why the Lord took Josiah out early.